But we're glad that you're here. A couple of weeks ago or so, I talked to you a little bit about what the Apostle Paul preached. This morning, I want us to look a little bit about his life. We're going to talk about the life of the Apostle Paul today. We're going to look at it from the standpoint of Paul's apostolic job analysis. We're going to look at his job. And the reason we're going to do that is because of what he said in Philippians, the third chapter, when he said, I want you to have a mature mind, he said. And he said, let's walk by the same rule in verse 16. Let us be of the same mind. And he said, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Well, if we're going to follow the Apostle Paul, if he's a pattern for us, we've got to know what that pattern is. We don't want to be put in a position where we just guess about it, but we want to look at what Paul did. I'm not so much this morning talking about what he said, but more about what kind of a person he was. If we're to follow him, and he is our example. In fact, in the Corinthian letter, he spoke to the Corinthians, said, be followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul, the kind of attitude that the Apostle Paul had, the kind of person he had. And what we're going to look at, first of all, is the attitude that he had toward the job he had. You remember he was chosen by God, or Christ, to be a chosen vessel unto him. That's what Jesus said to him one occasion. You're a chosen vessel unto me, bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and children of Israel. Well, did he fulfill that? And if he is our example, we should be able to look at him and say, well, this is what he did. And if we're going to follow him, we need to do what he did as much as we're possibly able to do it. Well, let's look at what he said about his job. Acts the 20th chapter and verse 19, he tells us he served the Lord with all lowliness of mind and tears. That's what he did. So we see that Paul practiced what he preached. He served the Lord. In fact, when he was writing to the Romans, he said, as much as in me as I want to. He had a desire to serve the Lord. Later on, he said, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. So the fact of the matter was, Paul's attitude toward his job was, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep the responsibility I have. I've been told I need to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the job I was told to do and the job that I can do. Well, his attitude was to be faithful to the job, to do what he did. So when he says, you have me as an example, what kind of an example was the Apostle Paul? He was an individual who served the Lord in everything he did, in all lowliness of mind and with tears, he says in Acts 20 and verse 19. But let's look at something else he is as an example unto us today. His preaching, of course, when he served the Lord, with tears stirred up opposition. There were those who were opposed to what the Apostle Paul had to say, so there were those that were against him, and it did stir up opposition. He freely confessed that trials beheld him by the plots of the Jews in Acts 20 and verse 19. All these trials came because the Jews didn't like what he was saying. But he kept the job. He did what he was supposed to do. He continued to do it. He served the Lord. And in fact, as I said a moment ago, in everything that was his, he served the Lord. And he says a little bit later on in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all who live godly shall suffer persecution. So Paul suffered persecution. We're to use him as an example. That means that we may suffer persecution also. So his job analysis, as we look at Paul, what kind of a person was Paul? How can we use an example? Well, even when he stirred up opposition, he continued to preach the word. He was urgent in season and out of season. He reproved and rebuked with all longsuffering and teaching. And you know, he told Timothy to do the same thing. That's the kind of person he was. But also, as we look at Paul and his job, he faced the responsibilities head on. He didn't hide somewhere. He didn't shirk his responsibilities. As a matter of fact, in Acts 20 and verse 20, he said, I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. I didn't keep anything behind him. I did everything I was supposed to do. I preached the whole counsel of God, he says. Well, obviously, when he preached the whole counsel of God, sometimes, as we said a while ago, it stirred up opposition. That's what it did. But the fact of the matter is, he continued to do it. It didn't matter whether some individuals didn't like what he said, but he preached the gospel head on. One good example of that is when he withstood Peter to his face He got right in the face of Peter and told him he was condemned because he had dissembled when the Jews came. He had been eating with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came and they didn't think he ought to eat with the Gentiles, he refused to do that. And Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he did that which was wrong. So Paul would stand against those who were doing that which was wrong, but he would face the opposition of those who did that head on. That's what he did, and he faced his responsibility. You're to preach the gospel before the Jews, the Gentiles, and the kings of Israel. That's exactly what he did. So he was not afraid to do it, no matter who was standing there, no matter what the opposition was, and he would do what he ought to do. That's what he did. The challenge was for him to be urgent in reproving and rebuking and exhorting someone, whether it was out of season or not. And that's what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. He said, I want you to preach the word in season, out of season. I want you to be urgent. I want you to realize how important it is, whether it's in season or out of season. That's exactly what Paul did. That's what I mean by facing his responsibilities head on. He did that, even when it wasn't popular to do that. Well, let's look at his methodology of work. Let's look at the kind of work that the Apostle Paul did. If we're to use him as an example, what kind of work did he do? In Acts 20 and verse 20, we're told that he taught these individuals, and he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, by the way. He's called from them to come to Miletus, and he's speaking to them. He said, I want you to understand, I taught you publicly, but I also taught the same thing in your house. In other words, his work was, he didn't change what he was saying depending on what crowd he was with. You know, a lot of times when we see politicians running for office, when they go to one state, they'll say one thing. When they go to another state, they'll say another thing. While they're running for office or while they're trying to get the nomination, they'll say a lot of things to people. When they get the nomination, they change what they've said because they didn't really believe it in the first place. Well, that wasn't the kind of person that Paul was. His methodology of work was he taught the same thing. He taught publicly and house to house. His way was to maximize all efforts he could to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're to follow his example, if he is an example to us today, we ought not neglect that either. When we talk to people about the Lord, we need to talk to them the same way in the building that we will outside the building. When we talk to people privately, we should say the same thing with regard to what our belief is as it is here. Now, obviously, we're going to say the same thing here, but we ought to say the same thing when we talk to people outside of this building. We ought to tell them why we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We ought to be like the Apostle Paul when he said, as much as in me is, I want to do this. I want to preach the gospel, and that's exactly what he did. Well, what was his attitude? Not only that was his personal attitude, and he's our example, but let's look at his attitude toward other people. What was his attitude toward groups? Well, in Acts 20 and verse 21, he says, I testified to Jews and Greeks. In other words, I testified to both of them. It didn't make any difference what the group was, whether it was the Jews who may have thought one thing or the Greeks who had a different thing. I testified to Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I did. Well, isn't that what Jesus said to do? You're a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. What the Apostle Paul did was the same toward all. Even when he was in the face of King Agrippa, he taught the same thing. He taught about Jesus Christ. When he was in the face of those Jews who didn't like what he was saying, he taught about Jesus Christ. When he was in the presence of those who were Gentiles, he taught the same thing. I teach the same thing everywhere in every church, he said to the Corinthians. So it didn't make any difference. When he was teaching publicly, he didn't say a different thing than when he was teaching privately. When he was teaching privately, it wasn't different than what he was teaching publicly. He did exactly the same thing, but he did it to everybody. He was the same to everybody. Reminds me a little bit of Jesus Christ. We're told he's the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. Well, that's where the Apostle Paul was. He was the same. When you met him in Antioch, he was the same as he was in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you remember when he was finally arrested by the Roman soldiers and he was taken to Rome. When he was in Rome, he even converted some of those, the Praetorian Guard. He converted them to Jesus Christ. He taught the same thing when he was in chains or when he was free. So that's our example. I'm your example. Be followers of me, he said. You follow me. What is my example? So we're looking at his job. Did he keep his job? Did he keep his word? Well, of course he did, because he said, I've not been disobedient to it. I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. But there were a lot of difficult challenges that the Apostle Paul had. Some were greater than others. And when Paul had difficult challenges, that didn't change him from preaching or teaching what he ought to do. For instance, on one occasion he said, I'm bound to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit testified unto me in every city, say that bonds and afflictions will abide me. I know all this is going to happen to me, but I'm not going to change, he said. The Holy Spirit has told me what's going to happen to me. Bonds and afflictions are going to happen to me, are going to abide me. They're going to happen to me. But he never shunned these assignments that he had to go preach the gospel, to do what he ought to do, to preach to the Gentiles, to preach to the kings, to preach to the Jews. He never shunned his responsibilities. And when the people saw that he was going to leave them, and they were weeping over them, in Acts 21 and verse 13, he says, why are you weeping? Why do you weep and break my heart? And they were breaking his heart. You can imagine that when they realize that Paul's no longer going to be with them. He's going to be taken away from them. He's been with them for some time. He's guided them. He's watched over them. He's been their confidant. He's been their best friend. And all of a sudden, he's going to be taken from them. And they start weeping as a result of that. And it breaks his heart. He said, why do you break my heart? Why do you do that? For I'm ready not to be bound only, he says, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't weep for me. I'm ready to do this. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Christ. And isn't that what he said to the Romans? I serve the Christ, he said. So don't weep for me. Well, you know why they were weeping. They weren't going to see him anymore. They were weeping because he had told them these tribulations and these problems are following me, and these bonds and these afflictions are going to abide me. And the Holy Spirit has told me that. And they believed that. They believed that when he entered Jerusalem, all these terrible things were going to happen to him. That he was going to be sent to Rome and he was going to be crucified, or he was going to have his head cut off, or something was going to happen to him. They understood that and they were crying. Have you ever known somebody that you had great respect for? And when you were around them, they just gave you a blessing to be around them. But all of a sudden they're taken away from you. Have you ever shed a tear because of that? Because you're not going to see them anymore? That happens sometimes when one of our loved ones passes away. And we look down into the coffin and there's that body in the coffin, but they're not able to speak to us anymore. And at one time we had a great relationship and we spoke and we visited with each other and we got advice from them and we gave advice to them. And we just had a wonderful friendship, and we say, it's not there anymore. I remember when my father died. I'll never forget when he died. And at the funeral, I made a few statements, and I looked down at the casket, and it was open so people could see the remains of my father. And the last thing I said, Dad, it's over. And it was. It was over. I can't talk to him anymore. He can't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning like he used to. I can't do any of those things anymore. And I shed tears. Well, I remember what Paul was saying. If my dad had been able to tell me anything, he said, Dave, don't shed tears for me. I'm going where I wanted to go. That's what he would have said. Because he lived his life so that he could go to heaven someday. Well, that's the way we ought to live too. That's the kind of person the Apostle Paul was. That's the example, folks. And that's the kind of job that the Apostle Paul fulfilled, the responsibility he had. The difficult challenges did not change him. He didn't quit serving the Lord because somebody made it a little bit rough for him or difficult, or because some of his friends ridiculed him for his fidelity to God. He didn't quit serving the Lord. I'm ready, he said. I had a good friend when I preached in Pampa, Texas at the Central Church of Christ there, and then later on at the West Side congregation there that we built. Very good friend. He was an elder of the church. He contracted cancer, and I'll never forget sitting by his bedside the day that he died. And he said, James, quit crying. You don't need to cry for me. I'm going exactly where I wanted to go. That's what he said on his deathbed. Well, that's the way it should be. That's the kind of person that the Apostle Paul was. I'm ready. If they bind me, that's okay. But I'm also ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about us? Are we ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, why was he ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was loyal. His attitude toward difficult things, he was loyal to the Lord. Loyal to the Lord. He had loyalty. The Lord could count on him, couldn't he? He had an unswerving loyalty. He was devoted in his service to the Lord. He was dedicated to his discipleship. In fact, these are the hallmarks of the character of the Apostle Paul. He said, I hold my life not of any account as dear unto myself. I don't hold it as dear unto myself. So that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. That's Acts 20 and verse 24. He said, I hold not my life of any account. Well, if I have to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'll do. I gave my life to Jesus. Jesus gave his life for me. We sing a song like that, don't we? But Paul gave his life for Jesus. Jesus gave his life for me. I'm going to give my life for him. That's basically what Paul is saying in Acts, the 21st chapter, or 20th chapter in verse 24. I gave my life for him. That's what he did. And I did that so I may accomplish. And the reason I don't hold it is of any account, so I can finish my course. If I held my life as the most important thing that's out there, I probably wouldn't do some of the things I was going to do, he said. There's an old expression, you only go around life once, get all the gusto you can get. That's the idea that Paul didn't have. He didn't have that kind of an idea. If I need to die, I'll die. But I'm going to finish doing what the Lord told me to do. Isn't that what the Lord's talking about in Revelation 2 and verse 10 when he says, be faithful unto death? That's the kind of person the Apostle Paul was. What was his job analysis? I don't count my life as anything that's dear unto myself. I want you to think about that expression. Dear unto myself. Because he said, for me to live is Christ, didn't he? And to die is gain. He didn't think about how precious his life was to himself. He thought about his life belonging to Christ. His life was a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that so he could do the very thing that the Lord told him to do and fulfill the ministry that he'd received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, did he have the ability to complete the task? Did he have that ability? Well, let's look and see if he did. I shrank not from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Well, he couldn't have done that if he hadn't had the ability. Jesus Christ said, you go your way. I'm going to tell you what you ought to say. I'm going to tell you, and you go before the Gentiles, kings of Israel. You bear my name. So he had the ability. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Did he have that ability? Well, you say, but the Holy Spirit's not speaking to me today. But he is, really. He's doing it through this, folks. You can have that ability, too. Everything you need to know is right here about going to heaven when you die. Everything you need to say to anybody else about how they can get to heaven when they die is right here. If someone says unto you, James, what do I need to do to be saved? You can say, well, look at here. It's right here. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. There it is. You can do exactly what Jesus Christ told the apostles to preach through the Holy Spirit. You can do exactly what they did. And as a result, you can keep from diminishing anything the Lord said. And you can preach the whole counsel of God. That's what he said in Acts 20 and verse 26. He didn't leave part of it out. I heard a preacher say one time, well, you know, there are certain times when we ought not to preach this. Because the people, they don't like it. There are certain times when you need to leave this out because the people won't like it. Paul didn't do that. What kind of a job analysis do we have with the Apostle Paul? What kind of a person was? I preach the whole counsel of God. Whatever needs to be preached. Now, I'm not suggesting one ought to be bitter and mean when he does it. Neither was Paul, but he had to tell people what they need to do to go to heaven when they die. And that's what he did. And therefore, when he was about to die and leave this earth, he said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I've kept the faith. I can't think of stronger words that could be put upon someone's tombstone when they pass from this life that would simply say, he or she kept the faith. They kept the faith. Paul said, I kept the faith. I finished the course. I wanted to finish the course. That's why I didn't consider my life to be dear unto myself, because I wanted to finish the course. And I kept the faith. That's what I did. And I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole testimony of God. Well, let's look again at something about the example of the Apostle Paul. This time, let's look at the exhibits of the Apostle Paul that show concern for others' work. He wasn't only just concerned about himself. He liked other people doing what they ought to do, didn't he? And he even spoke about that. In Acts 20, verses 21 through 28 through 31, he was careful to warn the elders that there might be men who would rise among them speaking perverse things to draw the disciples away after them. He said, grievous wolves will enter among you. Therefore, remember that by the space of years, I cease not to admonish you night and day with tears. He's interested in their work. You elders, do your work. Be of the aware that somebody, even among your own self, may arise to speak perverse things. Don't let them do that. He was interested in other people completing their task too. He wasn't just interested about himself, but other people too. And if you don't think that's so, you think about what he said to the Corinthians when he said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. He thought so much of them that he was willing to spend his life for them, to die for them, just like Jesus Christ was. It's interesting how close the Apostle Paul comes to the life of Jesus Christ, isn't it? When you read the things that he says. What was his job? To preach the gospel. What am I willing to do to complete the job? I'm willing to spend myself to do that. What? For whom? For others, not just for myself. Not so that the Lord might give me a trophy because I did so good, but I'll do it for the souls of others, because he wanted all Israel to be saved. He tells the Romans that. I wanted people to be saved. So when we look at the Apostle Paul, we look at something else. We see that he had integrity. The Apostle Paul was a person of integrity. You could depend on Paul. Well, the proof of that is I say the same thing everywhere I go. I say the same thing in every church. I preach the same thing. I don't keep anything back that people need to hear. I coveted no man's silver, he says. I didn't preach for silver or gold or any of those kind of things. I didn't covet any man's silver or gold or apparel. Acts 20, verses 33 through 34. He left all of that. He's an example that we ought to have to gladly help the weak. And remember what he said. This is what I thought about. His integrity was such that he said the words of Jesus, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that the kind of life that the Apostle Paul lived? That shows his integrity. He was more interested in others than he was about himself. Did he not tell the Philippians, don't look unto your own things, but also to the things of others? Think about the example that Jesus gave you. Well, he's an example too. Paul is. The integrity that Paul, when he said something, you could count it. There used to be an expression, if I say it, you can take it to the bank. An old expression. But what it means is, you can count on it being so. If they tell you that, that's the way it's going to be. Don't we want people to do that even in the secular realm? When someone tells us they're going to do something, they're going to come to our house at a certain time and fix something, don't we want them to keep their word? Well, in the spiritual realm, the same thing is true. We need to keep our word. We need to have the same kind of integrity that the Apostle Paul said. We're looking at his job analysis. Why would I follow the Apostle Paul? Because he had integrity. He kept his word. He said, and it was so. Reminds me of when the creation is being spoken of. And God created all things. He commanded, and it stood fast. He said, and it was done, the psalmist said. He commanded, it stood fast. When he said something, it was done. That's the kind of person the Apostle Paul was. He was that kind of person. And let me tell you something, folks. He was not ashamed of anything. I'm not ashamed of my faith, he said. I'm not ashamed of it. That's what he said in Romans 1, verses 15 through 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and all that's Greek, for unto them the righteousness of God is seen from faith unto faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. He wasn't ashamed of faith. And that's why he preached the faith. And that's why he said, we walk by faith. Talk about himself and others. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. And although he would have liked it if other people liked him all the time. Not all people did, but some did. We see some people who thought a great deal of the Apostle Paul. I talked about that just a minute ago. When they realized he was going to be taken to Jerusalem and they would not see him anymore, they cried. A lot of people thought well of the Apostle Paul. In Acts 20, verses 37 through 38, the Apostle was talking. He said, the Bible says, or Luke records, that they embraced him and they wept sore and they sorrowed and they kissed him and they brought him on his way. Think about that. You think about somebody you're not going to see again, do you embrace them sometimes and you kiss them and tell them we'll be thinking about you? And you help them get in the car or in the bus or on the airplane or whatever it is, and they go on their way. And there are tears coursing down your cheeks because you may not ever see them again. Well, that's when others think of you. Let me tell you something. Good, faithful people will think that of you. How many people have you known that were faithful to God till the very day that they died? And when their name comes up maybe in your mind or somebody else mentions their name, you think about that. And sometimes you may even have a tear in your eye because of what kind of person they were. I can see this scene. Paul's about to leave. He said, I'm ready to not only be bound but to die in Jerusalem if I have to. He's about to leave and they're crying about it because they won't see him anymore. At least they don't think they'll see him anymore. So here's the good thing about what others think of you. I realize that those who are in the world may not think that. But those who are children of God, those who live in harmony with you, those who love you, and those who love the brotherhood, they'll think that of you. So what kind of persons ought we to be? Well, we ought to be followers of the Apostle Paul. That's what he says. I'm an example unto you. Be followers of me as I am your example. What kind of example was Paul? Well, I know he taught a lot of things and we ought to do what he taught because it comes from the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But as we look at this, we're thinking about what kind of person he was. He didn't just take the gospel and preach it, although he may have lived a different life. He wasn't like the person who says, don't do as I do, but do as I say. No, he was the person that did and also said. He was a perfect example. That's why we want to use the Apostle Paul. And that's why he said, follow me so we can follow Paul. The things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, he said, and the God of peace will be with you. And that's true. The things you learned and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. When he said, I fought the good fight and I finished the course and I've kept the faith, he went ahead and said, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's why he did all that. That's why he's willing to be bound and go to Jerusalem and even die if necessary, physically, for the Lord. That's why he showed the loyalty, because he said, there's a crown of life waiting for me. But he went ahead to say to those Philippians, and not for me only, but also for all them that have loved his appearing. So you can have the same thing. Paul is the perfect example of a human being. Now, I know Jesus Christ was a man too. But Paul is the perfect example of a human being who gave his life to Jesus Christ and was faithful till he died. And like I said earlier, when we die and somebody wants to inscribe something on our monument, on our tombstone, wouldn't it be wonderful if all they said, he kept or she kept the faith? And Paul did that. He kept the faith. And why? Because he wasn't ashamed on his Lord. How about you? Are you willing to give your life to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be like the Apostle Paul? Even if you have to die for him, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be faithful till the very day you die? Are you willing to give your life to Jesus Christ to be baptized into him after you've acknowledged he's the Son of God and made that great confession? Are you willing to be faithful till the very day you die? And so whatever's necessary to show the Lord you're not ashamed of him. Whatever you have to do, that's what you're willing to do to go to heaven when you die. Can I help you in that? That's together we